What's up, Friday Deployers? I just wanted to let you know this is our last episode of the year. We're going to go enjoy our holidays. We hope you do the same. We'll see you first thing next year with some new content. Friday afternoon deploy lost a week of billable time to the Cyberpunk 2077 character creation screen.
On Red Table Talk, Will and Jada were both on there one time, and basically Jada admitted that she was a terrible wife and that she had like cheated on Will.
Are these like the Smiths? Like, yes. Jada, is that his wife? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and that he kind of just put up with her shit, which is kind of bad.
So it sounds to me like you're mashing that like and subscribe button on the Red Table Talk.
No, definitely not. Mm. I really do not like that. But
you just happen to have seen a lot of it.
She plugged in.
It's just always on when you're in the background, when you're at the dentist or wherever.
No, some people just make videos about it. Cause like,
you watch second tier, like the meta community around it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. So, do you watch YouTubers who do YouTube drama channels?
No, this was actually like YouTubers. A psychology channel that does. He does, he did a video about the Unabomber, and that's where I read the not manifesto, the profile.
Yeah.
And he's made videos about Red Table Talk as well, the weird shit on there.
I love me some good YouTube drama.
And he loves to make videos about apology videos because, you know, those are everywhere nowadays.
Right.
It's true. Yeah. YouTuber drama I will occasionally wade into. The YouTube ecosystem still just makes so nonsense.
One thing I hate about YouTube now is that I react to them reacting to. That freaking kills me. I'm like, no.
Oh, like reaction videos?
Yes, meta reaction.
I had never seen a reaction video until I got hit by one, which was... it was like Vocal Coach reacts to Disturbed's Sound of Silence.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
It's a good one.
But I've seen. Sorry, go ahead, Willow.
Any song you look up that you just want to listen to, there's a reaction.
There's a reaction video. Yeah.
Just about these days. Yeah. The last one I watched was Vocal Coach. I think it's the last and the first one I watched was Vocal Coach reacts to. Maynard, well, it was Tool's Prison Sex, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was, you know, so it was early Maynard, and they were watching this video, one that he did that was live back in the day. It may have been like Woodstock 99 or something, but it was back when he had the big, long mohawk.
Yeah.
And all that, you know. And
I think that was second edition Maynard. First edition was just like the ratty hair with the sides of his head shaved, which is like trendy now, but in 1993 it wasn't. And it was when they toured. Yeah. It was one of those big festivals when they did that live collaboration with Rage Against the Machine.
You
know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He did like Know Your Enemy with him, I think.
Yeah,
such a good video.
Oh, man.
You want to get real cheesy? There's anime react videos where it's like, I'm going to watch episode 700 of One Piece,
man,
and react to it.
Statistically,
so basically, you're watching episode 700 with me on YouTube.
Statistically, like, I'm going to alienate some substantial portion of our audience, but I've just never been able to wrap my head around anime. I cannot find an interest in it. I just can't.
You have a problem with anime then.
See? I might have alienated half the hosts on the show.
I used to be a lot more. I don't want to say anti-anime, but I appreciate anime more than I used to.
That's
the correct way.
I was gonna say I'm with you, but actually it is different. I just used to be anti everything. And I think I am still anti a lot of things, but I just don't care, you know. But when I was younger, it was like I had to go to war against it, you know. Just like I don't like that, and so I have to go rub it in everyone's face.
Why,
you know? I was just like a Reddit atheist, you know, including my religion. I was the same way. But now it's just like, oh, I realize that I'm an adult and I can have a preference. I don't have to give a shit about anyone else's opinion.
Now everybody has to like mustard on their hot dog.
And then bonus points, you can make your own show and then you can come just spout your opinion. And, but
so here we are.
That brings us to current.
no kidding. I'm not like an anime fan, but I enjoy it in the right context. And I had some friends that were really into anime just out of high school. Mm. And I ended up at Akon in Dallas.
Oh no.
And boy,
oh,
wow. Y'all, that was
a
wild ride.
I bet.
To get it at an anime convention.
Yeah. I never wound up there, but I was probably pretty close. One of my really good friends in late high school was major into anime. And so he got me to watch a few things, and he knew me well enough to know what to try out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so I think he was wearing a Ghost in the Shell t-shirt one morning. And I'm like, dude, like, that's a cool shirt. What is that? And he's like, oh, it's Ghost in the Shell. Have you never seen it? And I was like, no. And he's like, of course you have it. It's anime. But before you
react,
we'll watch it today after school. Like, yeah, it's good.
We'll film it too and make a YouTube reaction video of it.
I wish we had that still. Yeah, but it was a good reaction. Ghost in the Shell was really good. Not that terrible movie that they made here a while back.
I have certain ones I really like, but for them, a lot of them that I just for the most part.
Have you seen the one that I've actually really enjoyed recently? It's been years. The Castlevania,
bro,
on Netflix.
That's one that I feel like is in a different category for whatever reason. I don't know why.
It's Netflix.
Is that a good bro or a bad bro, Willow?
I don't know. It's just because it's Netflix.
I hear really good things about that Castlevania. I still haven't watched it yet.
I think Tyrell sold me pretty hard on it. I think they need
because like. I don't know if you've ever watched Berserk, but that is one of the best.
Ty loves Berserk. And that's kind of the other way coming around on where I've had to be gentler with anime because he really likes anime, like collects manga and stuff. And Berserk, there used to be a Berserk poster behind me. I took it down as soon as I started working in here because it was not work safe. Like one day I'm testing out the video and I look back there and I'm like, nah, I better take that down.
Take that one down
before Tom sees that.
the manga or whatever, which is one of the only ones I've ever read because they didn't make the show anymore, which is disappointing. It gets freaking really, really bad. Like, not bad as in bad, but bad as in graphic and such.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Alan, I've definitely had people in my life like what you described, the sort of the connoisseur, the tastemaker, that's just like, you just haven't had the right kind. Mm-hmm. It's got to pair with your palate. Let's sit down. And they did take me through a little bit of Ghost in the Shell, which I found to be tolerable. I didn't get far enough into it to get like really immersed in it, but it was good.
It can be kind of a slow one, but
I'll tell you one of the few. I've never watched much series, but I've watched more movies, just like feature length. And one of the first animes I saw that I liked and I still really enjoy, although I haven't seen it in a long time, Vampire Hunter D.
Yes,
if you haven't seen
that's
it,
that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Vampire Hunter D is so good.
It's visceral. It's gory. There's some, you know, that's something that was like introduced to me at like age 13 or 14. So there's some stimulation for, no, this was definitely not on sci-fi, because there's some not TV rated moments in that. And so, you know, as like a 14-year-old that hated everything, I was like, well, let's hear it out. you know.
But yeah. Lots of good movie ones, like Millennium Actress is a really good anime movie.
I've seen it.
Never seen them.
It's like about this chick who is old now, but she's like reminiscing over her days as an actress. And so it's kind of like blending reality with the movies. So it's like you can't really tell which one's which, kind of. And so it like jumps around. And it's kind of like the movies are simulating what's happening in her life at the time. It's pretty good.
So every time you bring up Alan Tai's interest in manga, I'm instantly reminded that we once had a client's family member intern with us, quote unquote. And that was a young French woman obsessed with manga about baseball.
Yes.
And she would draw fanfic manga.
And it was good.
The manga that she was obsessed with, which was just like, French girl in the States loves manga about baseball.
Also,
it was like the weirdest
intern at the company, client CEO's daughter. And like, just the whole interview, I had totally forgotten about this moment in time. And it was a brief one. I think it was like 3 weeks or something like that.
Did she technically intern?
No.
She arrived for like 3 months.
Yeah,
she hot desked at Lockheed.
Was she there? No, she was there for like maybe half a summer. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, and she arrived in a box. we didn't have an internship open. She just let us know
that we were about to have an internship
the day before. And then, she just showed up at the door, and she was wonderful. I mean, it was great. She was great, fun in the office. She was interested in coding and stuff, more interested in manga. I tried to make a proper internship out of it. I really did. I was like, you want to learn about front end or back end or the business side, and like tried to go through some stuff. More interested in drawing manga. But it was like, hey, you know what? That's fine. Like.
I think she drew some company logo redesigns for their.
That's true for that company.
Yeah, which, graphic design was really
where her interest was. And, yeah.
There's some actually good basketball anime.
I guess it's reasonable. It stands reasonable.
Why
to,
not?
Yeah. For there to be sports related anime,
they
it
had,
just didn't occur to me.
Sports related anime, and one of them is like older. And they were totally obsessed with Michael Jordan, you can tell, because they wear red.
Of course. Like
Bulls.
Yeah.
Slam Dunk.
Is that actually the name of an anime?
Yeah, that's the one. Mm.
Mm.
And then there's Kuroko's Basket, which is freaking fantastic. And I'm sad that it's over because it's just fun.
Man, you're making me want to play NBA Jam.
Kuroko's Basket, there it is.
I thought you said Heroku. Heroku's
I
basket.
I did too. Heroku's basket.
Yeah, you know, this is a tech show, and
I like this one.
We can keep going on anime, but I want to bring up the topic that that we were going to talk about today, only because I'm sure that we'll weave in and out of it. So I'm gonna give you some window dressing.
Let me leave us on what is possibly the most anime of basketball animes, and that is Basquashball.
Okay.
And it's robot cars. It's basically Transformers playing basketball.
Wow.
According to this article I found, mind you.
I see.
I guess there's probably some amount of, what's that game where you play soccer with cars? That aspect. That's hot. Rocket League. There's some Rocket League in there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, we could keep going. I didn't mean to derail it, but
please let's not keep talking about
it. Well, everyone's into anime because we can now because we all work from home. And I wanted to talk about remote work because I think that's on all of our minds. And, you know, there was a time where it'd be like, well, I wish we had gotten some like expert in remote working on the show for this episode. But it's 2020 and we're all experts at remote working now.
We're experts here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And recently, Lofty as a team has committed to remote for the long haul. So no longer scoped to the pandemic, it has global scope now, And so we're exploring what that means. Cause before we could go like, well, we don't know how long this is going to be, have one foot in both worlds. Now that we're, you know, have made the decision to commit to that for the long term, you know, we have to like get real about what does that mean and how does it look for us as a company? What tools do we use? And I'm sure we'll talk about Sococo as part of all this, not sponsored.
But when you started talking, I went and got everybody to invite them.
I noticed that, get them in the studio in Sococo.
I was afraid I didn't click the actual, I didn't link up through there. I wasn't sure what it would do to my connection here.
Nothing. All it does, it's just a convenient little slot that the Zoom link sits in. So there's not.
And then it puts a little badge on your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it puts a badge so that it's visible that you're in the call.
Yeah. But so remote. I mean, everyone's doing it. But now we've made some commitments. We've made some changes, and maybe we can share some pro tips these days. Mm-hmm. Pro tip number one: take your lewd anime posters off the wall in the background of your Zoom meeting. Yes. That's what Alan discovered.
That's important. Yep. Go ahead and test out your video and take a look around over your shoulders.
Look close. You know, because when you're on a video call, your thumbnail's the little thing in the corner. But everyone else sees it in 4K, you know,
this is true.
Full screen. Yeah. So you got to get in there and see the details. Tyrell has opted for the virtual background option, which is smart.
That's safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is unless you get cheeky with it. And then next thing you know, you're sitting at Bob's Burger, Bob's Burger's diner waiting for your burger when you start your client meeting.
Or like this situation. I went into a meeting with Blake, Christmas Blake behind me one time.
Right, exactly. You could take that poster down and put it as your background.
What's Blake doing in that picture?
I don't know. He's posing with a reindeer. It's like from Christmas 3 years ago. I found it on Facebook and I stole it. But it was hard to explain when I went into a meeting why that was there. And I was just like, it's one of the guys that, we don't actually work with him. I don't know.
Professionalism is going out the window all around everywhere.
I do think that the bar is low, lower than it ever has been. That's for sure. Yeah. I've felt a lot more comfortable. Honestly, though, I feel like, here's what I think. I feel like video calls used to carry an escalated level of professionalism. And now when I go into a video call with people, it's now down to more the level that I would have been if I were meeting with them face to face. I feel like it's more honest now.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Because even in the office, when I would do a video call with someone that was on, you know, another team, a client's team or anything like that, it felt that it wasn't awkward, but there was this amount of pressure on it that was different from just talking to somebody that's in front of me. I felt like, okay, well, I gotta sit here, make sure my audio is right,
be squared up in the middle of the camera
behind me, and all that
kind of stuff. It used to be like someone came in the room and you were like using your hand off camera to be like stop, and like gesturing away. And now it's just like I turn my video off and then I tell the meeting like, hey guys, I turned my video off because my kid just got out of the bath and he's naked behind me. Give me 1 second. And everyone's just like, oh, man, that was me 15 minutes ago. You know, I get it.
Everyone understands now.
Everyone gets it.
And they may have understood before. You know, it may have just been our own mental stigma.
I got up in the middle of a meeting today, not long ago. Tyrell was there. It was like, hey, my DoorDash is here. I haven't had lunch yet. I think it's a combination of everyone's doing it. We're doing it a lot, so we're getting used to it. I think that's part of it, Alan. It's just doing more and more of it, right?
Yeah, totally.
We're all on video calls all day, so it doesn't feel as alien to us.
Yeah. Where before, maybe I was doing maybe like one a month or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, truthfully.
Wait. Yeah.
As far as like big group ones, at the very least, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I don't miss? I don't miss sitting around that damn meeting owl, which was cool, our 360-degree camera. But I don't miss sitting around that thing and having a client go like, are you in a airport bathroom? Like, what is all that echo?
the video was great. The video was great on it, but the audio
was awful. It didn't help. It was just like, well, we took everything we could to like to like muffle sound and dead in the room, and we put that in the podcast studio. So the rest of the office, studio has great acoustics. The rest of the office sounds like the stairwell that John Bonham recorded the intro of When the Levee Breaks, you know, like
decay for days in there. Yeah.
Get their stigma back.
I think some places will.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be internal. I think the way businesses interface, the way that people interface with other companies will have to always allow for this for going forward. Your internal company culture can go back, but yeah. I don't think you can have the expectation that a company that you interface with mm-hmm. will have those same standards anymore.
Yeah.
And so there'll have to be like that. That's what will forever be broken.
I don't think the big tech companies will.
You don't think they will?
No. Because they want to continue with the pressure that you're always next to your computer and we have the ability to contact you at any time. So you better be ready.
I'll have to ask my contact at Facebook.
You got one over there?
What that's like. I do, yeah. I've got a cousin-in-law.
That's a real thing, by the way.
It is.
Confirmed. Yeah.
She took a job there. I forget when exactly. I think it's been a couple of years now, but moved to San Francisco and all that. And so she got all the questions of like, so have you talked to Mark Zuckerberg? It was like, well, yeah, we kind of work together a little bit, but like not often. And, you know, and I think mostly he just talked to me.
In fairness, Mark Zuckerberg, I think that that's how that works in every relationship in his life.
exactly. Yeah. Probably so. I imagine interfacing with him just, I cannot get, you know, his deposition out of my head. And that's always kind of what I'm imagining.
One of those pictures Senator? I put in our meme Slack, quite a while ago was Jack Dorsey with his freaking cat.
With the beard.
And Mark Zuckerberg. And it said something like, this is a lonely, what is it, like lighthouse guy with his robot that he built for company?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Lonely lighthouse keeper and his company robot. Man, it's weird. I don't know. I don't know much about the internals of the big companies. The what do they call them? The fangs. It's more than fang now, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
FAANG, right? It's an acronym for Facebook, Apple, Amazon. But they keep adding some. Yeah. Big companies keep IPOing. Now it's like STEM was, you know, and then they're like, it's STEAM, you know, it's science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and art. And then it's
nothing to do with those things.
I know. And then it's like stream. They add like reading in there. And I was like, okay, I think we're just back to fucking school at this point. Like, you know, reading,
writing, arithmetic.
Yeah. I don't think that it's a, you know,
the thing that about that acronym is it's meant to be something particular, but
for STEAM or for FANG
or STEM.
It's actually, I think it's STEAM now. I'm pretty sure.
I'm with you.
I didn't take that exit either. So the fangs are, now it's bigger. It includes more, but you've got, cause how do you not have Microsoft in that? You know, how do you have Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Facebook, and you don't have Microsoft in that, but
that seems biased.
Yeah. There's a whole, those are big organizations. There are reputations for overwork. They're also, those get grouped together a lot in the compensation world. It's a very in crowd exclusive thing. Are you guys familiar with, I can't even remember the name of the app now because I'm not cool enough to be a part of it. It's like Blink. Maybe there's a social network just for engineers that work there. So they can I assume it's so that they can trade drama and be like, hey, are you making $1 million a year? Because I am. You should come over here to the other A in FANG. But I forget what it's called, but there is a social networking app for all these elites from that group. But I don't know. Maybe it depends on what team you're on. You do hear things about like an overworked culture. I don't know. I work pretty hard for that salary too, personally. if anybody at a Fang wants to hire all of Lofty, can I speak for everyone on that behalf? Maybe not.
Yeah.
No, well, no. Alan's in. Me and Alan are in.
I'm in. Yeah. Give me enough money.
All right.
Well, hi there.
See, we're living it out. This is the reality.
Yep.
We've got a tiny we person.
Are. You need a tape measure? All right. Yeah, got you a tape measure.
Are you? This is Henry comes in and gets tools from me all the time too.
Yeah, I hope it goes to a good place.
Yeah.
That I can find later. Yeah.
He came in the other day and was just like, "Dad, I need a screwdriver." And I was like, "What the hell do you need a screwdriver for?" And he was just like, "Nothing." And I was like, "All right, here you go."
Just specify which one.
He's three. Everybody, just so you know.
I ain't gonna give you the screwdriver unless you tell me which kind of screwdriver.
He actually knows. Paige taught him the difference between a Phillips and a flathead when we were renovating the RV. Because he was our gopher. He was actually really, he's so eager to help. You know, and we'd just be like, "Go get a screwdriver," and he was like, "What kind?" And you know, then we had to learn how to do that. So we taught him Phillips and flathead.
Nice.
So he'd have gotten you there, Willow. He'd have swindled you out of all your screwdrivers, the whole set. He'd have been like, "Checkmate." You want a Torx one? You want a T35? It's fun though. He loves tools, man. He's like, I don't know if some of that is just like the I use them a bunch, and he wants to do everything that mom and dad are doing. There's also a lot of like tool centric content that gets slung at kids. You got Handy Manny, Tyrell. Mm-hmm. Your kids were Handy Manny people, I assume.
A little bit.
I don't know if they missed it from like an age standpoint or whatever. I don't know when that was contemporary. The internet now, so all TV shows simultaneously exist at the same time.
That show's kind of older now, though.
Is it? Well, see, Henry's into it.
I vaguely remember that show. I wasn't watching it, but I remember it.
Yep.
The worst one right now, it's new, we've seen toys of it and stuff, is Cocomelon.
Don't even know.
I'm very quietly right now.
What even is
outside
that?
The door.
Give us the lowdown on Cocomelon.
Yeah. So,
how does it stack up against Vampire Hunter D?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't. Except that, well, it's on Netflix. And, you know, and so it's just low, it's kind of low quality computer animation. Mm-hmm. But it's all about the sing along.
Oh,
part that's yeah.
No, oh. Did you guys ever watch Clifford?
Yeah,
Big Red Dog. Yeah.
So Clifford as a TV show, and I only know this. This is contemporary. Henry will watch the PBS Kids app occasionally. That's where we limit like where his shows come from, and they have all of Clifford on there, and they drop a couple new episodes every week, and so he'll watch them every once in a while. But there was a point where that show like shifted. And I don't know if you watched it before, probably before. If you watched it when you were a kid, like I did from like the 90s, you know, I guess, I mean, it wasn't like riveting television, but it was an enjoyable kid show. But like at some point, that thing became a sing-along show.
Mm-hmm.
And the show isn't about Clifford anymore. It's about Emily Elizabeth singing five songs per episode. And they hired this pitchy kid that can't carry a tune to do it. And every time Henry puts it on, I'm just like, what did they do to Clifford? He just stands. He's just like a big mountain in the background of every episode while Emily Elizabeth sings a song about making pies and shit. And it's just sad. It's just sad what they did to Clifford.
You know, one I like off of there. I mean, I don't watch it myself, but when we watch it with Emberly, I don't hate it. Is Daniel
Tiger.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with it. I haven't put my finger on what it is.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not great. A lot of it is that it's recycled Mr. Rogers.
It is. That's kind of cool. It's in the same universe.
Yeah,
Which took me longer than I care to admit to like put together,
figure out.
Yeah.
Sitting there, it didn't take me very long, but I think I'd watched that documentary on Mr. Rogers, like around that time. So I was just like, oh, okay. It's all Daniel Tiger now and everything.
I'm just dense. I mean, it's like it's a note for note recreation of the theme, you know, almost. But, Yeah, it's he likes it. I don't know about the something about the animation weirds me out. I don't know.
It is odd. It's like 2D that moves a little
and bit, swirls and their heads turn. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm just being honest. I don't know what it's not bad. Don't get me wrong. It's just like personally, yeah. I see it and it triggers something in me that makes me feel weird.
Sure. When we were working on potty training, they have one song on there though that helps, you know, helps along with that and then lets you have a vehicle with which to, you know, when you have to potty, stop and go right away.
Mm.
Yeah, and then there's more.
I was waiting for the rest.
Well, they turned everything into a little jingle that you can just sing at your side to reinforce.
Yeah, exactly. And
give
so
us,
that's what
you give see us the hook,
doing
the
squirmy dance. You can, you know, when you have to go potty, stop and go right away. And it's something about flush, wash your hands and be on your way or something like that.
This is timeless advice.
Yeah, it is.
Something that like we all still struggle with at some point another.
Sing it in my head a little bit when I'm writing code or I'm on a call or something and then I find myself squirming a little bit. I think, better take some of my own medicine.
Been going hard on the coffee today.
Yeah. We're stop and go right away.
Yeah, you know? Red light. That's pretty funny. We're in a new milestone of potty training with Henry. This is TMI, but we're in the wipe your own butt phase. And
Yeah. we can leave that there. We're probably mm-hmm. in similar territory.
Yeah. I'm just gonna leave it there. I'm just gonna stare off in the distance for a while.
Think of war stories.
I've seen some shit, y'all.
Seen some shit.
Literally.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, listeners.
This went off the rails real quick.
This is irrecoverable at this point.
What's funny was I was going to bring up, related to remote work, a famous company that a friend worked for where there was a guy that was a furry and only everyone ever
Jesus.
Knew him as
We've talked about it all. Furries, anime.
But what I'm saying is, like... That doesn't even compare to where we just went with this other stuff. So we'll just sidestep all of that.
Yeah,
because I was just like, I can't.
That's off limits. Yeah, easy, Tyrell. This is a show with class. That comes in with topical content and sticks to the task at hand.
We work very hard on what we're going to talk about.
We were scolded about our tangents very early on in the tenure of the show. I don't know if you remember. It was, you know, it came from a patron, so
we were pretty good, but we went on tangents.
We did.
I wonder if we still do that.
I don't know.
Hmm.
What were we talking about?
Anime.
That's right. Anime. Today's episode topic is watching anime from home.
Trying to not watch anime when you should be working.
When you should be working. I don't know about you guys. I don't know, just working in general. I guess it doesn't matter where I am, but particularly now from home, I've usually got a video screen going.
Mm-hmm.
I've at least got
music or a video, of some sort.
I guess it probably is. You point that out. It maybe is more about the audio because I'm probably not watching it. It's in a tab in the background or something like that. But I've always got a YouTube playlist. I have more video going than music these days, which is weird for me because I've definitely been more of a like headphones on kind of deal, like jamming when I'm working. But yeah, I don't know.
Video steals my attention too much, or just people like the audio of something even. That's a film. Like if there's dialogue, that pulls my attention.
It can,
in a way that music does not.
Yeah, I'm the same way, Tyrell. If it's something I haven't seen a million times,
exactly.
So like, honestly, like I put
Office
Wars
Space
on
in the background.
Office Space, and I'll have my favorite moments. I'm going to stop and watch, but I know when they are, and I know I'm going to like. Yeah, that was a minute of that. Where he's
that's a good point.
Him.
It's kind of
we used to have our group watch parties at the office. We did.
Yeah,
we would pile up in the conference room and do that. And we don't do that anymore. We definitely don't stream movies or anything like that because that is not. that is not good with the licensing of that. So that's definitely not a thing that we do.
We would never do such things.
No, absolutely not. It's John Cusack, High Fidelity. He tells Barry he just wants something he can ignore. Which is kind of the what that is, you know.
is that when he comes in hot?
He comes in. Like, he comes in.
This sad bastard.
Yeah, they were listening to Belle and Sebastian, and he kicks in the door, and he's air guitaring the solo to Stairway to Heaven. It's just like, wow, let's just put on some old sad bastard music. I want sad bastard music, Barry. I just want something I could ignore. But yeah,
I will now sell 5 copies of 3 EPs by the Beta Band.
Alan was lamenting Wednesday how close we all came to sitting down and watching High Fidelity with John Cusack before 2020 took that from us, too. You know,
man, we were gonna do it.
I know,
we're gonna do it. I know, I know. I watched Utopia on Amazon, and he's the bad guy in that series. And so that's really what got me to think about it. We were watching it, and I'm seeing him contemporary-like, and then that's when I look over at her, and I'm like, you know, we almost watched High Fidelity with him. and then we just kind of have a moment of silence.
Yeah, like, it's sad.
That's the biggest casualty for us, I guess, in all this.
Yeah.
For those who may not know,
he's a big listener of the show.
John Cusack toured around watching High Fidelity with like auditoriums full of people.
Sold tickets to the event. And
95% of the staff at Lofty had tickets.
Yes, we did.
We were on our way. And we were just like watching this. Like, it got postponed. COVID. It got postponed again. COVID.
He'll come back.
Canceled.
It was like April. Yeah. You guys remember back in April where like there was still a chance that stuff came back around? It's just like, yeah, I mean, they said 2 weeks, but you know, maybe it was 6 weeks. And then it was, until that was fucking December. Here we are. But, and that one just got postponed indefinitely. Do we even get our money back on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I forgot. That was really the sad moment
when it got charged back. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's really not happening.
Yeah.
Takes a lot to give the money back. That's when you're committing to it's done.
Yeah.
You don't want to give that money back.
That's when they had to sit down with John and go, look, man, it's not gonna happen. I'm sorry.
He was as devastated as we were, I'm sure.
Of course.
I like to believe he was,
You know what? You don't go and do something like that begrudgingly. I mean, like, that's just the kind of thing that he doesn't have to do. The fact that he agreed to do it at all tells me that he really wanted to do it. And so maybe there's a reunion tour of this thing when it's all back, you know? I'm sure that's high on his list.
His priorities.
Yeah, and he listens to the show, so this will remind him.
He's a long-time listener.
Yeah, big time, yeah.
I'll tweet it at him to try and get his attention.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tell him his heart.
Tell him to come back. Do a doubleheader. Let's do, we'll do High Fidelity and Con Air. And when I think of Con Air, I don't think of it as a John Cusack movie, but I do think that that would be fun. You know,
I forgot he was in that, but
yeah, man, he's one of the marshals, right?
I just think of the Nick Cage when I think of Con Air.
See, it's always in my head,
John Malkovich
movie, yeah. Isn't he? Cyrus the Virus, man.
That's right, that's right.
Also,
Gary Sinise, not Gary Sinise. What the fuck am I talking about? The other goofy looking guy, I don't know why I always get Gary Sinise mixed up with him. What the hell is his name? He's in a bunch of things,
literally
a
everything. Bunch
of things.
He's in, he's in Big Fish, he's in someone help me out. I hear typing.
Donnie off the Big Lebowski.
Donnie,
I'll get you there.
We're almost
that's
there.
I'm taking it.
When are companies just gonna start becoming 24 hours because they don't?
I know some tech teams that function 24-hour with offshore teams. That's Steve true Buscemi. Story. Steve Buscemi. Thank you. Yes.
So that brings up an interesting point, Willow, to like actually pivot to something of value potentially for our listeners.
Thanks,
so
Willow.
Kudos to you for that.
Yeah. Thanks for pulling us back.
Sarah heard me and took a guess that it was John Goodman, but she was thinking of Walter rather than Donnie in the Big Lebowski.
We appreciate her help, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a text that just popped up. It's just like, John Goodman. Like, you got the Big Lebowski right. But we were looking for the other character. No, like the need to continue to draw boundaries as we shift towards that, and to give clear expectations to employees. Like, now that your work is your house, you're still not expected to work 24/7. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's actually
no, but it would be shift work if there was some kind of place that did like shift work. Like, there's certain shift jobs they do at Facebook and Twitter and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah. They have to adopt what at least they used to call was follow the sun. So it was like follow the sun service, I guess.
Well, they would have had shift work. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, because, you know, when you have a service at that scale that is going 24 hours a day, like, you have to have somebody who can turn the lights back on, you know?
But they just make the shift work easier because you don't have to worry about them going somewhere. It doesn't matter if they're freaking tired as hell. They're not going to fall asleep at the wheel.
Well, and I don't think that the shift workers would have been on site before. Like, I think that most places would distribute that globally.
Yeah.
Especially these days. Like,
that's how I've seen it done.
Your infrastructure man 24 hours, you can put a site, a location somewhere else.
That's how I've seen it done, at least in software teams. We had that at PBS. Big chunk of our team was in Romania. So there's about like a, depending on the time of year, I think like an 8-hour time difference. And so like we would have a handoff meeting with product owners and developers at the end of the US workday. And then there would be, it wasn't a perfect overlap because they weren't like polar opposite from us like you would get if you had a 12-hour difference. But they had some people that hung around late in their day to do a handoff to people early on our day. And so it was actually kind of amazing. Like, you would, as a developer, they had this continuous agile flow where it was just like, here's how far I got today with this component, and then you'd hand it off and you'd go to bed and you get to work the next day, and they'd be like, here's how far we got with it. And it just like, you would go to bed and wake up the next morning and the code that you had been working on had made further progress in the morning, or at least like not necessarily your code, right? Obviously, but like, but like the project, the product you were working on, the things you were interfacing with, you know,
when you thought about the code you were working on making progress, I instantly thought of the somebody touching my spaghetti. So,
I went deep on that meme the other day. I didn't know where it came from.
It's a really old cartoon.
It's just an old cartoon. And it's it's not a malapropism of what was said in that. They didn't add to it. That was just literally line by line. And
somebody touch my spaghetti.
I had seen the meme of that where it's like the audio and then like a meme face superimposed on the character. But like, yeah, it was, there's a really good video essay on the production company that made that cartoon. They didn't make many. They were like a cheap thing. I'll have to look it up.
You did go deep.
I did. And, it was like I went really deep in one swoop, though. I was like, what's the source of this? And I found a 20-minute video essay, and I watched that. But they show there's another – that production company just did some ridiculous stuff in cartoons, and there's one where they have this this giant Russian dude, and he's like literally a giant, and he falls down a hole. And to get up it, he literally reaches down and grabs his own feet and lifts himself up like through the, he just grabs his own feet and pulls up really hard and just keeps lifting himself up and keeps going to get through it.
That'd be nice.
That was awesome. You know, cause like when you don't have that big of a budget for story writing, you rely on devices like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's one place that's actually really cool for us as an agency. Being full remote is that then, like, I could see why if I worked at a product company, like, you have to define things differently per context to keep people from overworking and burning out. So if you're at a product company, like, literally the work is endless.
Yep.
And so if you don't clearly define boundaries for your employees and expectations and really equip them to manage that,
there's infinite fuel to burn themselves out on.
Yeah, or if you're a bad manager, you can burn them out. Like, it's not, I don't say that today. Like, it's always the employee's fault if they burn themselves out. Right. That's not true at all.
Sure.
But someone can unintentionally burn themselves out if you don't set those boundaries. Mm-hmm. Whereas for us, like, when we have, like, set hours that we sell, set deliverables in these chunks, like, it that the good news is it allows us to kind of set some clear boundaries around what, how much work to get done in a week.
Yeah.
And so like that's helpful, because it's like, it adds flexibility in there. I've been like digging into all of this, and like the reality that like we had a place of refuge at our office at a set time, mm-hmm. that we knew that the distractions of life weren't completely away from us, but were largely away from us. And we don't have that now. And so like kids coming in because they're learning to wipe will happen. And like a chore coming in because it needs to take place will happen. And so like giving the people the freedom to shift around to what comes at them with life is empowering, because otherwise people feel like, I know I've got like, I've still had to overcome like old mindsets that keep me from doing that to the degree I need to, where I neglect something that probably should have gotten my attention in the moment, but I'm just like, oh, should I pull away? Should I not? And it's like, and the only reason I do that is the optics of, in this case, oftentimes like a green dot in Slack at times.
Yep. And then people like, notice that my dot.
Nonsense.
Yeah. And I think I think the key thing is the flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's not like rigidity here causes problems no matter which way you go. Like, for example, if you go to an employee and you say, hey, we're remote, we want to have a lot of flexibility. In fact, we encourage you like actively to not work business hours, you know, work whenever you want. For some people, that may be too little structure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For some people who are working remote, they may need to confine it from 9 to 5, because if they don't draw that boundary with themselves, they find themselves being pulled in, you know, just as a combination of the nature of their job and their organization and their personality, that like they may want to set a hard boundary and say, no, I'm at home, but I'm still working 9 to 5 and I draw a boundary. Other people might just absolutely love the flexibility of like, cool, my kids get home from school at 3 and I'm going to go do that. And then I'm going to come back at 7. And so I think to do it well, you have to accommodate both of those scenarios. You know, you don't want to discourage someone working from normal business hours. You just want them to know that they have the flexibility to do so. You know, if it's safe and healthy of a boundary for them, you know what I mean?
I think it'd be interesting for us to do that, but we just really can't, because we gotta like, I mean, we can do it somewhat, but we gotta talk on the phone sometimes, and somebody wants to work at 8 o'clock at night and somebody else has been working all day, you need to talk to them. That's not really fair.
You're totally right.
That's where you get flexible with it. I think that's where the not being rigid on either side comes into play. Like I think, cause I'm kind of one of those guys that I hit a second wind sometimes around 7 o'clock that I just really get the itch to write some code or, you know, read some technical stuff, because my mind just starts working again and thinking about it, you know. But if I was working on a team, I kind of have to structure that around, well, if it's something that I need to interface with somebody else, or I get to a point where I need to ask somebody else about it, then that's my next boundary here of like, well, that's when this stops now.
I need to be conscious of when I do this, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Making deliberate choices more in the moment, not in the moment. It's not like, what am I going to do today? But like just kind of being aware of when to make yourself available.
I have done that a little bit, like anything that doesn't require me to be like on the phone. Like if I'm working on something, it's just frustrating me.
Yep.
I'll just stop and then I'll come back like several hours later and do it real quick.
Oh yeah.
I think that's a really good thing too, to think about, because I know, you know, Alyssa's going to school and there's been times I've come in and she's been in a bad state of mind. I'll say that of like math has really got her down. I can tell she's so frustrated, and like I try a few times to go like, well, let me see, like, oh yeah, you know, that's oh yeah linear algebra, that's tough sometimes, and you know, and now she's on statistics and probability and things like that, and this is for a business degree to keep in mind, like
business stats is not easy, Alan.
Nope.
Yeah,
it's really not.
So that that's what she's doing. But, you know, and then I see that look on her face, and then it clicks where I'm like, oh, I know where you're at. I've been there. And that's where I go, hey, go play some Tetris for a while. Like, I mean it. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad. Like, where you are right now, this topic has angered you. And when you get angry, it's like just our nature. Something angers you, you're going to avoid it. You're going to push back on it. So I was like, you're in a state that you're not going to learn it. It's not going to magically hit you and make sense. But if you go play Tetris, it actually might magically hit you.
Yeah.
You know, during Tetris, where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to try that. You know, and so I agree, Willow. I do the same thing. If I get frustrated on something, I'll go play my guitar for a minute or something. And then it's like just the action of relaxing a little bit sometimes allows a new idea, or at least a new way of looking at this idea to come in.
Well, and Willow, what you bring up is it is really important, right? Because like it's all about that nuance of like, if you interface with a team, you do have to, be respectful of the whole team and find a way that everyone can work. We also have, you know, Tyrell was talking about kind of the difference between agency and product side. You know, on the agency side, we do have an external constraint, which is that we have clients, right? And we need to interface with clients. And while clients may have some degree of flexibility, you certainly can't count on it. And so you do have to make client-facing ceremonies and activity occur during business hours. And the people on the team need to be available for that. You know, I don't think we'd ever get away with, as an organization, the idea of like, nobody's required to be here from 9 to 5. I don't think we'll function as a business, right? So right. There's a middle ground between that, though. And it's going to be fun to explore what that looks like. But we look forward to, you know, coming at that with an open mind.
You know, one area where it's been on my mind, even before we started working remote and exploring that, is like when I'm touching infrastructure, though. I try to stay out of servers.
And you still don't deploy on Fridays, folks.
The best I can. definitely don't touch the server in a way that you could possibly knock it over, and now your team's going to get all these alerts and stuff while they have no idea that you're working or any of that. That is something that I've kind of, one of my things that I work on the infrastructure during the day when I know, because I might even get to a spot where I'm like, oh no, I broke it. I don't. Oh no.
But I was going to go to bed soon.
Yeah, exactly. Cause that you get yourself in a situation that it's not like just working on a coding problem. I'm like, oh no, this is down. I got to get it back up. Phones are going to start ringing. Oh no.
It's pretty fun. But I think that, that part of it is really interesting. And then something else that we've discovered, I said we'd talk about it. We got to talk about Sococo, which we're not sponsored by. But if you guys haven't heard of this thing, Tyrell described it as what, Second Life for work, or Second Life meets Slack or something like that, meets Zoom. Yeah. All I know is that, Tyrell, I think you found it. You brought it to me.
It was something from one of the Crema guys. It was something that CK gave us.
Oh, CK gave us?
Shout out to Crema.
Nice.
Yeah, shout out to the Crema team for that recommendation.
I'm not surprised by that, actually, because they've got some good thoughts on remote. They were doing it before it was cool and requisite per governor's orders. Tyrell showed it to me, and he was just like, okay, I'm going to show you this thing. It's really dumb. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. And then I looked at it and I said, this is really dumb. I want to try it, you know? And I think that's been everyone's reaction to it. You guys, this is,
like, wow, that sounds dumb.
What this app is, it is a top down, I don't know, almost like a floor plan view of an office, and members of the team control an avatar, which is really just a colored circle with their name next to it, that you can move around this office and put it in an office or put it in a chair in the lobby or the team room or the conference room, and you can name the rooms and all kinds of stuff. And it's voice and video chat and the ability to share like broader meetings, like Zoom meetings and stuff in it. So at the face value, that's what it is and what it does. And you're going to think about that and go, well, that's really stupid. Yeah. Which is the natural
interface on my Slack.
Yeah. Basically. And honestly,
which was my first reaction,
the text chat in it is not good. And it's not supposed to be, as it turns out. But I was looking at it, I was like, oh, this can't replace Slack. And it doesn't. Not exactly. It also makes Slack, like, has anybody else noticed how dead our Slack is since we got Sococo? And the reason why is so much stuff that used to happen in a Slack channel is now happening, I almost said face-to-face, because that's what it feels like, but in voice chats. Go ahead, Alan.
I was going to say, one of the important features, I'm not sure if we've touched on it yet, and this really is when I started finding value in it. Because like I said, I was maybe the most skeptical one on our team about it. And then I see, you know, a couple members of our team having a conversation in an office. And, you know, the little dots that Casey referenced earlier, they blink when you're talking. Mm-hmm. It's representative of the audio that's coming through. And so what my mind did with that information was made me imagine the muffled voices on the other side of the wall. So I didn't feel, all of a sudden I had this feeling that I never get off Slack, where I look and I'm just like, oh, everyone's on a phone call. What if they're all talking to each other? Why aren't they talking to me? Why am I? Yeah. Oh, no. Like, what's the, you know, but you don't know. And Slack glitches out sometimes, and I'll have a phone next to my name and I'm not even on a call. But, you know, with this, I can see, oh, they're talking in there. Oh, that's the team working on that project. Yeah, that makes sense. They're in there talking. And then also you can see, you know, we do have like team room and a lounge. And so if people are talking like in the lounge or in the kitchen, you know, that's kind of open space.
You can tell it's a water cooler type conversation. There's literally a water cooler that you can go stand next to. That to me was the most interesting thing, is the signal. Like we all have offices, and you can go in your office, and like, there's nothing in the software that makes any of this, but the way it's presented, you just naturally start to interpret some etiquette. You know, now you can shut the door of an office, and that prevents you from going in someone's office until they let you in. So you can.
I kind of wish it was shut by default, just because it's easy when you first start using it to just pop in there.
Yeah, and I forget to close it. Yeah, and I had a separate issue. One thing that came up, I was on a Zoom call on a sales call, and my door was open, and Tyrell jumped in and was just like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And I was just like, I can't mute you in Sococo." Right? I could only mute all of my audio, and then I couldn't hear that. And I was just like, ah, crap. And so I just kicked Tyrell out and sent him a chat. I was like, on a call, sorry. Yeah.
What's funny, though, is every time something like that happens,
I know what you're going to say.
That's a very real world analog.
It's just like if I were on a call and Tyrell walked in my office, you know?
Door was open.
Exactly. He could have just walked into any meeting at any point if I were on a Zoom call and just not kicked the door open, but just busted in and been like, what's good? See money, you know? And like, that would have happened and I'd have to explain it, you know? But it's really cool. And there's this implied etiquette to it that's like, if someone's door's open, but they're in your office, you kind of like, you know, you go stand by the door and you be like, hey, you got a minute? You know?
Mm-hmm. But whenever Austin was, we were in the whatever, like the stand up room thing. And Austin was just in the corner, or his little avatar was in the corner. And I was like, what are you doing over there in the corner?
But like, yeah, if someone's idling in some like public space in it, you like immediately feel like totally comfortable popping in there, slapping your mic on and saying what's going on. And it's worth noting that in no point in this are you obligated to open up a call. So in Slack, it's like, you know, we wanted to encourage voice communication. That's really important to like get, you know, as close as we can get to like in-office communication with people. But in Slack, that means like sending a message, being like, hey, man, you got a second? You set up a call, you know, and there's this whole thing and people can like, and for good reason, ignore that and just all that stuff. Whereas in this, you just pop in and you start talking and other people don't really.
What?
Holy cow. What just happened?
What?
I'm watching it.
What?
Tyrell,
in on it.
How did we get this? Is oh my god!
Subscribing now. We are subscribing.
We just bought this app.
Turn our office into the Millennium Falcon.
Our office just became the Millennium Falcon. This is the Millennium Falcon. Willow, you don't even.
This is the Millennium Falcon.
This is what I've always wanted. Tyrell, absolutely not. You don't get to just take the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon like that. How did you?
I didn't put myself there.
Did it auto assign you and you just got the you just get I'm in the cockpit.
Are these separate rooms though?
Yeah, there's a there's a pier, there's a dock. I love that the office spaces are just the hallway around the middle where the smuggler ports are, where they hide in the bottom.
Yeah, the little ports in the ground.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Whoa, did you hear that?
She just shut her door.
Does the door make a...
Casey's yacht. I see you've got a yacht over there.
Well, see, our old office had an actual yacht on the outside, so it just took the names of our old rooms and assigned them. Austin got put just like in the corridor between
No, this is my office over here. I'll just take the X-Wing.
Guys,
you guys need me?
I hope the listeners, understand and they can hear the joy and know that this is what gets us excited about coming to work each morning. Now,
can we give them a screenshot and like something.
We're gonna have to. We'll put links to it. I'll put a screenshot. I'm getting one so that I've got it. The Millennium Falcon artwork was not anywhere in the on the marketing materials.
I found where this stuff was, and I was like, oh, and there was a Cyberpunk City one. I was just like, oh, that'll be fun. And then I saw the Millennium Falcon. I was just like, I'm about to wreck everybody's afternoon now.
Yeah. This is it now. But anyway.
Because I was looking for an auto shut door feature for Willow, and I finally found the setting where you get to change your background, and I was the space. It's in the space setting.
That just is just with it?
Yeah. It's just part of the...
Yeah,
like there's a ton of them.
See, they should have put this on the marketing website. They should have led with this.
Yeah,
and well, like they'd already have our credit card.
Yeah, I would have been way less skeptical if you told me in our office is the Millennium Falcon with an X-wing on the side.
So cool. Yeah, so we can add. I knew that you could add multiple spaces. If you got a big team, you're going to have multiple floors and things like that. There's a bunch of spaces in here. I gotta look into
about multiple floors.
Yeah, you can if you look over on the left, Willow, next to the home button, you'll see a button that has the name of our space and change space, and you could have multiple floors to your building or however you want to do it, multiple offices that you can jump in between.
I'm gonna shift again.
What are you changing this to now?
This has got multiple floors here.
I wanted to point out
ooh,
the lobby was right at the actual connection conduit of where you would enter into.
Oh, nice!
It's true. It was. And we can go back there, but like this is a multi.
This is cool too, dude. I'm back in Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah,
I got pants on. By the way, I am wearing
good call.
Wearing pants. Yeah,
the podcast studio is just out in the street. This stuff is, I'm excited to explore this, but like, I don't know, the craziest dynamic about this whole thing is this aspect of not having to create a call. You just walk in and start talking, you know?
Yep.
And if someone's in a room with a door open, just like a real office, nothing stops you from doing that except like, you know, etiquette and judgment, right?
And that kind of keeps everything from being a knock on the door is what I read an article that was talking about Slack being disruptive. And I agreed with that assessment of it, that's what it is. That's really what it is. Cause like sometimes, you know, someone's doing that. Someone's setting up a call or something in there and it's a thing that shouldn't annoy me. And it fundamentally doesn't. But I get this annoyance because it is like a knock on the door. Everything in Slack has to be a knock on the door.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just notification overload.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And so in this, I can see before I even have to knock on the door, as I would in the office. I would know if somebody was in a room or not, likely, you know, I'd have a better idea of it and wouldn't have to go around knocking on everything. Slack's like knocking on the walls with a stick, going like, Hey, anyone else in here?
Yeah. And like we're now wrapping up, we're rounding out the first full week of the team. We started midweek with the whole team on it last week. We're wrapping up the full week, and we have done more voice conversation as a company in this week than we probably have done in the months leading up to it. I can't speak for everyone, but I can say for Tyrell and I mean, like, how often are we having voice conversations through this? That, like, we totally had the ability to through Slack, but somehow that mechanism of, like, send a message, are you available, click the button, it rings, I have to answer it, and then I have to spend 5 minutes going, why can't it find my microphone? That's a Slack problem, but you get what I'm saying? And, like, that, for some reason, was just too cumbersome, or I can't even put my finger quite on what it is.
It feels like there's more preparation involved.
Yeah. Something. There's no prep on this. You just jump into it and you go. And I think maybe that has been cyclical with the fact that it's made so easy and we've done more of it that it just like really quickly became something that you felt comfortable with. You felt comfortable popping your head in someone's office and saying, hey, what's up? Just coming through their speakers unannounced, you know? And once you get past that, like, it's just, it becomes second nature, and it's been really good for communicating. It really has been. I've like, and I still, and every time I show it to someone, I preface the same way it was showed to me. I say, I'm going to show you something really stupid, and you're going to think it's stupid for a second.
It's not just like, you know, that somebody is in somebody else's office. You can actively see them talking.
You can see it. You can see it happening, and you immediately have context. Like, oh, that's the, you know, that's the such and such team. That's, I know. I saw that the other day. I saw Tyrell and Joseph in Willow's office. You know, and there's so much context in that. It's like, okay, I know exactly what project they're talking about because I know what project that team's all assigned together on. They're in Willow's office, and like for whatever reason, that gives me context that this is probably a dev-related conversation. Like, you know, it didn't get pulled into Joseph's office, which would indicate that it was like, hey, can you come here? I have a project management question. You know, it's just like there was all of this, and I may or may not be wrong, but I had context about it. Whereas in Slack, the only thing that I would have known is if I had gone to look, I would see the dots on. And by the way, I'm not trying to say that this is a tool for people to like manage from the perspective of like looking at your office and needing to know where everyone is at every time, because that's not really what it's for. But right. Like it gave context. It gave me I can't speak on, everyone else has different needs of what they need for a tool at work. For me, for the chair that I'm in, it made me like really confident knowing just like, man, look at the team just getting shit handled that I really had no visibility into before. I knew it was happening. Cause I trust you guys and I know you work hard. But like, just, I don't know, just being able to see that around your team,
you get that feedback from,
yeah,
it. It's kind of like me talking about getting annoyed by somebody setting up a call and there's no reason for me to do that. And it has nothing to do with them setting up the call at all.
It turns out. Yeah.
It's like, you don't get the feedback. Cause I can sympathize with that as well. That like it's not that you're worried nobody's doing anything, but it's just there, you're missing that feedback of everyone.
It's confidence. Doing all the things. It's confidence. Yeah. And it's like, and I'll give you another example of something that happened is that I saw Joseph and Tyrell. Joseph's one of our project managers. I saw them sitting in the big conference room and their little faces were lighting up. So I could hear their muffled voices through the wall. But they were in the big conference room, you know? They weren't in Tyrell's office or the huddle room. And I was just like, huh, I wonder what they're in the big conference room for. That's kind of like, that seems like it's an important meeting, you know? I wonder if I'm supposed to be in that meeting. I looked at my calendar. It's like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I am supposed to be in that meeting. It was in the big conference room because it was client facing and you guys opted to put it. We don't do like client facing calls from someone's office. For whatever reason, that's just been very intuitive. That's like big client meeting, big conference room. Little client meeting, little conference room. They're just on a 10-hour retainer. We'll put them in the lobby.
Hear stuff a lot more discreetly with like the link things in your office that you had, like your radio station you were listening to, or whatever.
There's other features to it. You can pin links into rooms, and they show up as like a calendar on the wall and things like that. And then you can launch long form meetings. You can launch Zoom calls and stuff. It sounds like this is a Sococo ad.
The weird thing was when somebody put on the coffee maker in the kitchen the freaking Amazon link to the coffee maker. That was weird.
That's funny. I know there was a
I put the lofty holiday schedule as a posted on the wall in the lobby area in case anybody was wondering, you know.
And just like you would have stuck it on the fridge at work, you know.
I wonder if I can get away with putting the workers' compensation posters that were required by law. We don't have OSHA requirements, but we do have workers' comp. I wonder if I can stick those on the wall in Sococo and get away with that. Out of
a greasy restaurant with that. Just a picture of it.
That would be great.
It's been cool to explore. Like, tooling doesn't solve all problems, and it's really easy to be like, we're working from home, what do we need to spend money on to make that work, you know? And for the most part, we really haven't changed much by way of tooling, but this is a new piece to the puzzle, and I don't even know what it means for Slack for us guys, honestly. Like,
yes.
Slack still serves a purpose. Slack still accomplishes something that this doesn't, which is the text side of it. But like, we were doing stuff with text that we should have been doing with voice. And now we know that. It's still nice to exchange links and documentation and post some code samples with syntax highlighting and that kind of stuff.
And that's what I was going to say was we used Slack at the office. We used Slack when we were all working in the same space. And I feel like the use of Sococo has allowed us to kind of gain back some of the non-Slack stuff that we had in the office, and Slack can go back to the way we used it before. Like, I literally think that way. I go, just like, well, should I drop in their office? Well, I'll just Slack it to them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and that's all happening virtually.
We used to Slack each other if someone's got their headphones on or they're in a meeting or their door's closed at their office. That's how it was at the office. We'd Slack people while we're sitting right next to them. They look busy. I'm going to Slack them.
And even in conversations, you could we would literally be in the room talking to each other and then go,
like, look at this link.
Let me
this
is what I'm talking about, you know? And so Slack has kind of gone back to that of like, now it's just, it's a chat room and a link sharing device,
which is good, because one of the problems when Slack became the primary communication tool and it replaced the ability to talk to one another when we went remote, Slack became very noisy, which it's like, I'm glad we had it. But at the same time, when you post like an important link or like in one of our client channels where we try and organize the communication, if you're not looking at it right that second, like 10 minutes later, it was completely scrolled off the screen, never to be seen again, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, when you posted it, you had this sort of confidence, this dopamine hit that like, okay, everybody that needed to see that saw it, I assume, maybe. I don't know. They all have phone icons next to their name and Slack is broken. So maybe they're on a conference call. Maybe they're not. I don't know, you know, but you would post stuff and it would go away. So now all of the, if we want to have a 30-minute debate on the, cultural significance of the Velvet Underground, we do that in Sococo with our mouths now. And that's not clogging up all of the meme links that are very important that we're sharing in Slack. Because if you post a link to a GIF in Sococo, you will get it across, but it will not automatically inflate it and play the cat GIF.
Is arguably the best thing about Slack.
I think
I realize other platforms do it as well, but you know, and that kind of takes it back to a lot of times in Slack, that's about the extent of what I want to communicate a lot of times is like, you know, here's the emoji that it explains the state that I'm experiencing right now.
Well, it's funny because like we did that because text is not expressive. So it was really fun to be like, I'm going to post a meme that captures, like, I could say, this makes me mad, or I can find a meme of someone flipping a table and really capture the rage, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, you know, today, Tyrell got to hear me vent about a client interaction and me just be like, you know? But like, we used words to do it. And like, I think for a lot of reasons, that's why, Slack became that tool for us, was like us looking for a means to express. And believe me, I'll be using memes forever, I think, as long as they're relevant, you know. And having the GIFs are good, but I just mean that like it's less necessary now to be expressive because we have this voice tool that's working really well. It's like Discord with a auto map.
Discord meets Second Life.
Yeah.
Because I actually have got to get ready.
I know. We got to wrap this up. We got to do this because, you know, we're on the express schedule. You guys are getting this so close to live because this one's going out the door. When you hear this, we just got done recording it. I'm going straight into production because it was been the holidays and we didn't have anything queued up.
You can listen to it while I'm at my son's basketball game. Lucky listeners.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I don't know. Should you have shared that?
I might listen it to it. I might listen to it while I'm at my son's basketball game.
He's bluffing. He'll be at home. I don't know. I'm just trying to cover for you, Tyrell.
No, I mean, I'll be out at the game.
Okay. Tyrell will not be at home.
Awkward. It's gotten awkward. I'll talk to you later.
I was trying to cover for him. Man, it's been fun. I'll see y'all next week on the Millennium Falcon.
Indeed.
Apparently. We got to rearrange this thing. I'm not happy with Tyrell getting the cockpit.
I know.
I feel like you can't just give that to anyone. I feel like that's got to be like a huddle room or something. That's got to be a shared space.
What's that?
The cockpit of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
You got to, that's, everybody wants a chance in that chair.
That's the team room.
Maybe that can be the team room. That would be where we do the podcast.
In this little whatever that thing is. There you are in that.
Where is it? I can go into Austin's little corner here. All right. We'll let the audience go. Thanks for hanging with us, folks. We're going to go play around in the Millennium Falcon. We'll see you. We'll see you in a couple weeks. It'll be almost Christmas time.
Well, all right. See you guys.
See ya. Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty Labs. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow at Friday Deploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes on this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. If you'd like to contact the show, or if you're local to the Northwest Arkansas area and would like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.